I'm going to talk about the helmet of salvation, also referred to as the helmet of hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And I want to link that verse later on to Abraham's life. You and I, we know that the battle, often it's going to be played out in our mind. It's going to be through our own thoughts. It's going to be through those that are speaking to us. It might be the media, it might be friends, relatives. It could be the enemy speaking to us. But the battle primarily is going to be in the mind. And so this protection that Ephesians 6:17 speaks about, which is put on, Paul says, the helmet of salvation, is so important, because whilst all the armor is important for us, Paul tells us to put all of it on. Hope is one thing that is really essential, not that the others are not, but particularly hope. And I'll tell you why that is, because in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says there that there's three abiding realities. If I can find it, it says, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So those three things, faith, hope, and love, these are things that we are to walk in and remain in. But particularly we're speaking about hope. Hope is something as a Christian we shall know the reality of, and we should be walking in. It's one of those things, like it says, abide. It's something we should remain in. That's a real abiding reality of our lives, or ought to be. And so that's why it's so important that we know how to guard our mind. That's what the helmet is. The helmet guards the mind, doesn't it? It's our mental protection. It protects us against, like I said, our own thoughts. It protects against the thoughts of others, but also from those words that might come from the enemy. So it's something essential that we need to live with. And that scripture that I read out, Hebrews 10:23, I'll read it again because it's such a powerful statement. Let us hold fast to confession. So Paul really includes himself in that. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So he's asking and he's imploring us to hold on to hope, because there's a temptation for you and I in the Christian walk that we're going to give it up. So he's exhorting us here to hold on to that hope. In other words, don't give up. Whatever you're facing right now in your personal walk, whatever challenge or circumstance, it's don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever it is that you're challenged by, whatever pain or whatever the consequences of past things in your life you're dealing with, don't give up. And I want to go through how we do that, because like I said, the helmet is so important. Ephesians 6:17, it talks about the helmet of salvation. But if you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it also referred to as the helmet of hope. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So there you see, if you combine the two, that helmet, it really talks about us protecting our minds with hope. So as a Christian, it's so important and so essential that we walk and remain, that word abide, remember, remain in hope. If you look at the life of Abraham, if you turn to Romans 4, here's a man, and I'll give you the background, because this man knew what it was to walk in hope. And God had promised him through Sarah a child. Many of you are very familiar with that story. When he was 75, God had came to him and said, you're going to have a child, a natural, through Sarah. Now, his body was old. He was 75. He was past the age of, you know, being able to produce children. Sarah, she was barren. So this was a real impossible situation. Nevertheless, God said, you're going to have a child with Sarah. You're going to have a child with your wife. And sure enough, when he hit 100, he had that child with Sarah, naturally, praise God, because he's faithful to his word. And in Romans 4, it says, starting in verse 16, I'll pick up midway. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. Now, this is my point here. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So you see there that there was circumstances in Abraham and Sarah's life that were impossible. Here's God telling Abraham through Sarah, they're going to have a child. It was impossible. In the natural, it was impossible. But it says there that Abraham, it says contrary. So contrary to what his circumstances were, in hope, believed. And so you can be right now in a situation where in the natural, things look impossible, and it's contrary to all possibility. It could be your family relationships. I've spoken to a number of people lately where one side, the relationship's still broken, but others, the relationship has been restored. And you can be in a place where your relationship is fractured, where there's been division in family and strife. And it's contrary to what God's purpose is, to make a whole again. And you can be thinking, how's this going to work? This looks impossible. I've done all I can. I don't see how this is going to work. But sure enough, I know the testimonies of a number of people that God has restored relationships. So you can be someone who might be a relationship. It could be pain in your body. Now, these things are the reality. They're real. You don't deny the reality of things. It could be something in your marriage also, where there is also relationship difficulties, where you're suffering. Maybe it's as a husband or maybe as a wife. There could be a provision that you're asking God for, like a house, where it seems impossible. It seems contrary to the hope that God gives. But you see, what God does, it says there that in that same scripture, in verse 17, it says that God gives life to the dead and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So you might be someone who's with a challenge that looks contrary to hope. It might look like an impossible situation. But it says that God gives life to the dead and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So yes, the reality is in your life that you might need a breakthrough in your finances. You might need breakthrough in a housing provision. You might need a job. You might be someone who feels, I'm alone. I'm always going to be alone. I'm always feeling depressed. And these things, you might think, well, this is my end. This is my portion. But that's not your portion, because God says he gives life to the dead and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, he's able to raise you up to another level. He's able to raise you up and he's able to bring into reality what he says about you. You don't deny what you're going through, but there's a greater reality. The greater reality is the word of God. The greater reality is what God says about you, is what he says about your health, it's what he says about your relationship, not what you think or what you see in your relationship. There's a reality, yes, that's true, but there's an ultimate reality. There's a greater reality. Just as Abraham saw that in his life, the reality was, yes, I can't bear children. Sarah is barren. That was the reality. But there was a greater reality that God says, no, I've told you, my promise and my word to you is, you're going to have a child. We have the same word. It says that God spoke the promise to Abraham. He spoke the word to him. You and I have many, he didn't have any promises apart from one or two that God had said to him. We have a whole book here of promises. So whatever your reality is, it's not the end. Don't give up. There's a greater reality. So where you find something that contradicts your circumstances in the Word, you simply apply the Word to your circumstances. You declare what God says, not what you see, not what you hear, not what the enemy's telling you. You declare what God says, because it says that he was unwavering. It says, first of all, that he was fully convinced. So there was no wavering. He was fully convinced that what God said would come true. That's what hope is. It's believing that what God has said is going to become true, that it's going to come to pass. So he was fully convinced, and it says that he did not waver. And the basis for all that was his faithfulness. That's God's faithfulness. It was on the basis of his faithfulness that this was going to come to pass. So he didn't waver. He didn't focus on the problem. It's so easy for us to focus on the problem of our lives. Maybe you're single and you think, there's no hope. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children. But God's blessing is that you be fruitful and multiply. God's blessing is marriage and children. And so, yes, that might be the reality for you now, but there's a greater reality. It's what God says. God's word is above your circumstances. God's word is a greater reality, whatever you're facing right now. See, he didn't focus on the problem. It'll be very easy for him to focus on the problem. It'd be very easy to say, well, what I see in the natural, how's that going to change? But he didn't. He believed God. And it says it was counted to him for righteousness. And so often, as a Christian, we can actually be in that place where, if you look in Job 3:25, we can be in that place where we're looking at certain things in our life, and maybe they're not going well. Maybe we've believed God for something, and they haven't come to pass. In Job 3:25, this was a season in his life where he actually comes to himself and he says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." So it's very important that, you know, hope is what guards the mind. It's very important that what we let come in. It's very important what we think about. Think about what you're thinking about. Because Job here, it says, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. So often we can think, you know, I'm fearful. I'm always going to live in fear. Well, no, you're not. I mean, you keep thinking you will be, then you might be. But God says he'll deliver you from fear. He'll set you free from fear. You might feel like you have no direction in life. Like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose in life? I don't have a purpose. Well, you keep thinking like that, and you may well end up with no purpose. But God wants to renew your mind. He wants to give you hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. And like I said, this helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope, is what protects our mind. And it's very important that we understand that, because I'll give you a good definition. I've told you this one before, but hope is it's not mine, but it's a good one. It's a confident and unwavering expectation of good. It's just simply put, confident and unwavering expectation of good. Just means that God's going to fulfill his word. Hope expects God to fulfill his word. And you see that in Abraham's life. You see what happened to him. You saw that child came through according to what was spoken. So we have the word of God. We have the promises. So it's so important that our confession, when we're going through a challenge right now, that our confession is right. That we don't actually focus on the negative. Because that scripture that I read out at the very beginning in Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope." So the confession of our hope, the confession of what God says, the confession of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and where he's brought us from. That actually be the words on our lips, that actually be the thing that we meditate on the most, because that's what's going to guard our mind. You know, as a Christian, we're obligated to be optimists. We are. We're obligated to be optimists. It's really a denial of the faith to be a pessimist, because God's given us so much. He's proven himself strong in so many areas through the testimonies of others, through testimonies in our own lives. So we have the promises of God that are sure and amen for us today. They are our inheritance. Now, when we apply these words, when we apply his promises to our circumstances, we're applying hope to our life. Like I said, you might always feel like I'm going to be a failure. But the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says that for you and for your portion, there is life. For you and your portion, there is abundant life. There is blessings. There is provision. There is love and grace and mercy and goodness. He has a partner. He has a great job for you. He has a great provision and a house. Everything he has for you is good. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulties. Doesn't mean you won't go through trials. But his purposes for your life, everything sums up as it being good. And that's where Abraham's hope was. It was in the faithfulness of God. And I want to just ask you a question. Philippians 2 verse 12, I believe. 3 verse 12. This is just another statement that Paul makes. He says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Now, just between yourself and the Lord, do you believe that God's laid hold of you? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm saying, do you believe in the deepest, innermost part of your being that God has laid hold of me? I'm not going to give you my address. I'll give you my old address. Has God laid hold of Ross Roberts, 8th of the 5th, 87, 6 Eric Close, Niagara Park? The God of heaven and earth, has he laid hold of me? Yes, I believe he has. Do you? Because I think that that's fundamental to our walk and walking in hope, that God's laid hold of me. As I am, because of my faith in what Jesus has done, now he's faithful. I trust in him. The purposes of him in Jesus are for me. His purposes for my life are good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's faithful? That he's able to perform his word? I want to tell you that hope is something so important that we walk in, continue to walk in, because it's in Hebrews 6:19, and it talks about hope being like an anchor. It says hope is an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. So our hope, despite what we're going through, the difficulties, challenges of life, our hope in the promises of God, our hope in the faithfulness of the Lord is like an anchor. If there's no anchor, the ship, it just drifts away. However, and this is a beautiful illustration, that boat on the surface might be rocky, unstable a little bit. That anchor, it's passing through water, which is an unstable element, but it hits the bedrock, which is solid. So despite what we're going through, if our anchor, if our hope, in other words, is on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never going to drift away. Despite those unstable elements, those things that we can't control, you know, we can't see around corners, despite what it is that we're faced with, our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as our anchor, we shall not be moved. So I want to encourage you not to give up, whatever it is. It could be your health. You might feel like this health, that thing, it's going to lead to cancer. You know, there's so much fear in the newspapers and the TVs about fear and cancer and sickness. No, it's probably just COVID or something. Don't let your mind wander. You've got to guard your mind. You've got to protect it. How do you protect it? Because, like I said, the helmet protects it. It's optimism. It's hope. Thinking positively. You've got to actually, when a negative thought comes, I'm going under, or I'm going to get sick, or I'm always going to be single, or I'm never going to find a partner, or I've got no purpose. You need to pull down that lie, and you need to replace it with the positive. That's walking in hope. So when that thought comes, when men, some women even, lustful thoughts come in, you take those thoughts captive. You put your hand on your mind and say, I take that thought captive. I forbid any lustful and perverse thought to enter my mind. My mind, I declare, is being washed by the blood of Jesus. I forbid any unclean thought. Don't just let those thoughts take root. Don't just let them meditate and do their thing. And that goes for any thought that comes in, any negative word that is contrary to what God says, whether it be in the media, whether it's from the enemy or yourself, you actually speak the word that is the opposite. So things are not going well. Michelle read a scripture about God is our hiding place and he'll surround us with songs of deliverance. It says there that he is my hiding place, that he shall surround me with songs of deliverance. So when you're going through a challenge, you're going through a spiritual battle. You declare the word of God. You don't just lay down and go, well, it's all over, it's all doom, I'm going under. You declare, no, God, your word says that you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. You declare the word. You don't let those words that come take you captive. You've got to take captive of those words. You've got to take hold of what those things are coming against you. You've got to guard your mind. And that's what hope is. Guarding your mind with hope. And it's so important for us today because around the world, you see the turmoil. You see everything that is going in the wars, everything that can spin you out, inflation. Most of you got a home loan, interest rate rises. And those fears might come in. But the foundation of the Christian walk is our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's faithful. He's not gonna allow me to fall. He's going to, according to his word, he's going to keep me from stumbling. He's going to hold me up. I'm not going to fail. Like Abraham, you promised Abraham this impossible situation. It came to pass. You're going to do the same for me, Lord. I may be down, but God, you're going to lift me back up again. God, your promises, they are yes and amen. Regardless of what I'm suffering right now, whatever my challenge, God, you're faithful to your word. We've got to focus on what God says, not only eternally. Yes, Jesus is coming back, and that's our eternal hope and eternal future. But what does God say for like today, now, and then the immediate future going forward, and also eternally? What is God saying to me? That's why we have to be in the Word. We have to guard our mind. We also have to be people who are thankful, because that's also going to guard our mind. See, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says that, this is probably a memory scripture for most of you. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there, where we're thankful, from go to woe, where we're thankful, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, where we're just thankful. Lord, thank you for my job. You may not like your job. Thank him for it anyway. I see that relates to some of you. Lord, my children, they're playing up. Thank you for my children. Lord, things in my marriage are not the best. I thank you for my marriage. Thanking God is so, I want to tell you, this is another message in itself, but thanking God is so powerful. It says it guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know that term, peace of mind? What comes from that? It's like that. It guards your mind, gives you a peace of mind. When we're continually thankful, there's so much power that will guard our minds. And you know, it says that we, and I shared this at the beginning about hope as a helmet, a hope of salvation. That hope, see, when we lose hope, I should say, you're no longer living in salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. It's the helmet of salvation. I'm saying where there's no hope, the experience of your salvation is gone, because it's about hope, isn't it? Your salvation is about the hope that we have now, future, eternal. So that's why it's so important that we remain hopeful in God, that our future is good, that he can be trusted, that he's faithful to perform his word, that as I declare the word and believe for it, it's going to come to pass according to your will. It's always according to God's will, but that he has a plan and a purpose, that everything that God has for you is good. Everything he has for me is good. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything that God has for you is good? And like I said, it may not necessarily mean you won't get harmed or you might not go through a trial. Those things might happen, but it's all part of God's plan for your life. So Paul and Kristen, I want to just call you up now. And I'm going to close there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. This is what I opened with. For he who promised is faithful. He's just as faithful to Abraham as he is as faithful to you and I. So we got to walk in hope. We got to apply the word. We got to remain optimists. We got to pull down those lies, those negative thoughts. And we got to focus on who Jesus is. He is our anchor. He is our rock. When we do that, we won't be moved. We won't be moved by circumstances. We won't be moved by the waves because our anchor's holding strong. And whatever comes, whatever challenge, whatever difficulty in our family, we're going to remain strong. We're going to remain, our minds, our thought lives are going to remain protected. Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything in this walk, Lord, to bless us and to continue to keep us. Lord, you've given us your hope. Lord, you are our living hope, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you for everything you've given us in your word. You've given us every promise, Lord. And whilst we may have a reality of circumstances, Lord, I thank you that there is a greater reality, Lord, that you call those things, Lord, that are not are as if they are. Lord, you give life to the dead. Lord, you did that for Abraham and Sarah. Lord, I thank you that you're doing it still today in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that we can lay hold of your promises. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you call those things which do not exist as though they did. Father God, I just declare over every person here, Lord, every challenge, every circumstance, Lord, that they're looking to you to break through in. Father God, I'm asking right now, Lord, that they would come to know the greater reality of your word and the power of who you are, that you're in their midst. Lord, that you've never left them, will never leave them, you'll never forsake them. So, Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would guard, continue to guard, you would continue to release fresh hope to those that have lost hope. Father God, I just right now come against all hopelessness right now. Every person is facing hopeless situations. Father God, I'm asking right now for a breakthrough in each area of that person's life. Lord, your promise is, Lord, that you would perfect everything that concerns us. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Lord, we ask right now that you would break through right now every hopeless situation. Father God, you are the King of glory. You are the lifter and the glory of our heads. Lord, you are the one who wants to lift our heads to new heights. Father God, I'm asking right now, Lord, that you would break through every situation. You would break through every life today, Lord, that needs a breakthrough. Father, I commit every person here to you and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.